All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus podcast. Bill and I are in the office, and we're going to watch a three-minute video together, and then we're going to talk about it. Let's get started. We'll listen to this video right now. It's from NBCNews.com.
It is an act of war, said France's president today, after a night of horror, of mass murder, massacre after massacre, not seen in Paris since World War II, and it looked like war. Bodies on the streets, terror in the air, ISIS claiming it today, warning of more, to follow a night that began so differently. Live soccer, France against Germany, millions watching on TV, when suddenly an explosion heard across France. A trail of terror had started. From the National Stadium, targeted by three suicide bombers, to bars and restaurants where dozens died, 19 in one alone, to the concert hall where 89 were killed. It all took less than 30 minutes. 9:20, after the first explosion at the soccer match, the French president was evacuated. When the fans left, they defiantly sang the French national anthem. Two of the suicide bombers blew themselves up just over here while fans were drinking during the game. The big question is why the bombers didn't attack earlier when 80,000 people were pouring into this stadium a half hour earlier. One suicide bomber tried to get through with a ticket, one report said, but was stopped, then blew himself up. 9:25, and outside a city centre restaurant, carnage. It's where Charlotte Braillot thought she would die.
All of a sudden there were huge gunshots that sounded like fireworks and just like bang, 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 bang through the window.
9:36, another attack at a bar where those 19 people were killed, sprayed with gunfire. Then 4 minutes later, terrible scenes nearby. Gunmen stormed a rock concert by the American band Eagles of Death Metal. Young people shot fleeing, stepping over bodies on the ground. One woman clinging to a window ledge, a badly injured man being dragged away. Inside, Julian Pierce played dead, then ran for his life.
They were not stopping. I mean, they were refueling the guns, they were reloading the guns, and they were very heavily armed. And what struck me when I looked to one of the terrorists was how young he was.
We spoke to Helen Wilson from New Orleans, who was injured and cradled her dying friend. She says the gunman deliberately targeted people in wheelchairs who were near the stage. Dozens escaped onto the roof and were rescued. French SWAT teams finally storming the hall, two gunmen blowing themselves up, a third shot and killed. And this may not be over. ISIS said there were eight gunmen, seven are dead. Police here now hunting that eighth man and any other possible accomplices. President Hollande is vowing revenge on ISIS. France, he says, will be merciless. This is a city and a country braced for more trauma. Lester?
All right.
So, Bill, he says that they're going to be merciless. What's your reaction to that? Because I heard that Friday night. What's your reaction to the fact that France is going to be merciless?
I don't think they have any idea how to even start. I mean, 24% of their males under the age of 25 are Muslim.
25%?
24%? Yeah, 24% of males under the age of 25 are Muslim. What are you going to do?
A quarter of their national population.
Yep. Male population at the age of 25, a quarter of them are Muslim. What are you going to do? So I'm going to tell you, when I, of course, I'm furious. I'm a little pumped up right now. But he says they haven't seen this mayhem since World War II. Well, there's some other things they haven't seen in Paris since World War II. And that is a good backbone. Okay? A good backbone. When you let Syrian refugees and you let these fighting age Middle Easterners flee to your country, and ISIS says that they've put, I think it's 4,000 fighters into Europe through the refugees movements. How dumb are you? How dumb are you?
And Germany's struggling with the same thing. Canada's struggling with the same thing. America's struggling with the same thing.
Hungary is not. Hungary said, jump in a lake. You're not coming through here. And they're considered the bigots of Europe. I wonder if they're still considered bigots.
It's interesting. You just did a podcast. In fact, I listened to it this morning because of a comment that was posted to Sermon Audio that, you know, all the comments go through my inbox. The timing of your Shariaville podcast just the other day. When did you do that? Thursday?
I did it right after lunch on Friday.
On Friday, right after lunch
so
on Friday.
So a matter of 2 hours before the attacks.
That's startling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you're talking about a city outside of Detroit in Michigan that used to be Polish. It was a predominantly a Polish city, Roman Catholics,
right.
Polish, really what we would classify as God-fearing Americans. Whether they're saved or not, Bill,
sure.
We don't know.
Definitely,
but
yeah.
Definitely understood who God was from their perspective.
Right.
And now it's, for all practical purposes, a Muslim city.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's got a majority city council that's Islam. Yeah.
And it's really just a picture of what the future holds in many, many states.
Yeah, and you've got the governor of Michigan saying that's how we're going to rebuild Detroit. We want 5,000 Syrian refugees sent to us. How stupid are you? You know, Dearborn, Michigan is already 150,000 Muslims, 600,000 Arabic-speaking people, Arabic nationality. And some of them are Christians, but over 100,000 are Muslims, okay? And you have Minnesota and Michigan and Massachusetts as the most liberal cities that are interested in having Muslims. And when you have mayors who are saying, you know, send us your illegal immigrants, you know, against federal law, against state law, what do you expect? What do you expect? And I mentioned on the podcast, I sent this to, because some of you know out there, I'm a part-timer in the Army Reserve as well, and I sent to my commander the other day a publication from the United States Army of 2008 that said that this idea of separation of church and state is a Western civilization phenomena that only one out of every six persons on the globe ascribes to. Five out of six people on the globe say the religion drives their actions. But we don't see it that way, and so we assume when Muslims come here, they'll act like good Americans. No. They'll act like good Muslims. That's the point.
And no one's willing to identify what a good Muslim looks like.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Because that's why I feel like his words are just rhetoric.
Of course.
His words are just rhetoric.
Yeah.
Nobody at this point is willing to do what it would take to destroy ISIS. I mean,
right.
If I told the guys in the truck the other day, I said, if we fought the terrorists the way... If we fought the Japanese the way we fought the terrorists, we'd all be speaking Japanese today. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We're out here targeting individuals, Bill. We're going after single individuals as though somehow if we just kill the right individual within the organization, it'll all topple. We don't understand that they're looking for the next spot to open up. That guy dies, they've got a replacement for him.
Of course they do.
They've got a lieutenant ready to step up. Mm-hmm. They've got layers. That these guys don't mind that one bit. It doesn't deter them. It, in fact, motivates them because there's a promotion that just came available.
Right. Go live in poverty here, or you die and you're promoted instantly to being lavished like a king in paradise. Doesn't matter what you've done. That martyrdom, jihad martyrdom, will get you instant, I mean, guaranteed. It's the only thing in Islam that guarantees a trip to paradise.
It's born again.
Yes.
For all practical purposes.
It is. That's right. I wish people would hear exactly what we just said. It is the only thing in the system of Islam that guarantees paradise is martyrdom. It's the only thing. They'll tell you. I have that Muslim liberal. He's a Sufist. Lives in town. He comes to church here every now and then on Wednesdays to be a good friend to me. And he hears the preaching of the gospel. And I said, is Muhammad in paradise? He said, Muhammad did not know if he would go to paradise. Now, if the founding prophet didn't know he was going to go to paradise, but martyrs have a straight shot, guaranteed. Well, why in the world wouldn't your system of religion drive you to go and do that? It's ridiculous. And we have Ted Cruz even talking about extreme Muslim or terrorist Islam. And I finally, you know, I know that I'm just one of a trillion people out there that are responding to his Facebook post, but I said, stop the PC junk. Stop it. okay, you're making several groups of Muslim Islam out there. You've got to stop it. Because if you're a good Muslim, if you're a good Catholic, we'd say you go to Mass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because their doctrine says you do. Mm-hmm. A good Catholic goes to confession. Their doctrine says you do. A good Catholic prays to Mary. Their doctrine says you do. We would never say, let me get this straight, you're a good Catholic, but you never go to Mass.
Yeah, but see, he's a politician first and foremost, okay? Who's struggling with how to integrate his Christianity into politics and mesh the two together.
Sure.
That's Ted Cruz.
Right.
And so he can't risk alienating voters. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And so that wins. And that's why we have to create this
extremist Islam.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it is an entity that does not exist. Good Muslim kills non-Muslims.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And nobody wants to say it. We're not supposed to say it. But that's the truth. And this rhetoric that we hear from the French president will be forgotten, Bill, months from now. It'll right. just be, that's how you respond. You respond with rhetoric.
Right.
Our president does it. That's what all the leaders do it. But in reality, nobody's willing to go over there and drop 10,000-pound bombs
yes.
onto cities until there are no one living in the city
right.
again. And then you say, that's what we do to terrorists.
Yeah. Yes, I think I saw it perfectly this morning after my devotions, before oatmeal, somewhere in there. It says, we've been at peace with Japan since August 9th, 1945. Three words. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, atomic.
Yep. Right. No one's willing to do that today. That's not even on the table for discussion. We're surgically going in. It's like looking for individual cells, Bill, when you have a cancer tumor in your body.
Right.
And nobody's willing to cut the tumor out. We're trying to find individual little cells instead of just saying to the person, the whole tumor's got to come out.
Yeah.
This whole thing's got to come out of your body.
Yep.
No, we're the surgeons going in there with little tiny knives trying to cut out individual cancer cells in this malignant tumor.
Yeah.
And who's talking this way?
Right. And the whole... Exactly. And wow, we got Jihadi John. Wow, yippee. Do you understand that he's a hero now?
Right.
He died in jihad.
Right, right, exactly. And so we got an individual, and they terrorize an entire city. That's how it goes. We got one, and they have an entire city in lockdown. They have an entire city of old ladies and individuals just frightened to pieces.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself, and the news reporter says, why in the world didn't they detonate the bombs earlier? Because if they're willing to detonate the bombs, I mean, you got to wonder what happened there.
Yeah.
Was there some kind of disconnect? Did they get afraid? What? Because what would have the death toll been, Bill, had they waited until the masses? I mean, we can all imagine what it looks like outside the football game.
Right.
I mean, is everyone not in one of their most vulnerable states there?
Right.
Where are you going to run?
Right. And I'd like to use this opportunity to call baloney on the president as well. And, you know, in the wake of the Connecticut shooting, what do you say? This stuff doesn't happen. Or in the wake of the Reserve Center shootings,
yep.
This stuff doesn't happen in other countries.
Right. And okay. Here it is.
Yeah. In a country where they have strict, strict, obnoxious gun control.
Right. So much so, Bill, that no one was armed. No one
right.
was able to respond. Not a single person in the theater was able to do anything. They all just had to cower and run for their lives. Not one single individual had a concealed carry permit.
Right. Right.
Right. Because they don't allow that in Paris. That they've evolved beyond that. We are the barbarians in America
right.
who think that there's a need to have weapons.
And of course, refugees, they abide by things like
laws.
Gun control.
Yes, yes. They once you tell them what the laws are, they obey them.
Oh shoot. Well, okay.
Of course.
Oh,
now that we didn't know that was the law. Now that we know that that's the rule.
Well, good thing the mayor is coordinating a gun turn in, a buyback or gun thing. We'll take all our AKs in and our explosive vests since we know there's a law now. We'll take them in and turn them in.
You see, we think somehow, Bill, that the solution to the problem is intelligence.
Right.
If we just find them, if we just monitor, that we can stop them, that we can... So
yeah.
we're going to allow them to continue to plan. We'll just be one step ahead of them.
Right.
Well, here's a perfect... That didn't work.
No.
That didn't work. You don't have seven different locations, three different teams, this level of coordination with it out being planned ahead of time. There was scouting, reconnaissance, communication,
exactly.
all that stuff. And they didn't pick up on it.
Hmm.
They didn't pick up on it. These weapons that they used. They didn't buy them at gun shows, Bill, at the local Coliseum. No. That stuff doesn't happen in France.
No.
They don't understand those things that we have here. They don't have pawn shops over there in France where they have indoor shooting galleries and you can just go get yourself an AR-15. That's not in France.
No, you're exactly right.
So where did these weapons come from? How did they get into their nation? The point of the matter is the government can't protect you.
That's right.
Intelligence isn't working.
Yeah. Government does not want that burden. They shouldn't, because they can't do it.
No, they can't do it.
What kept it from being nine gunmen?
Right.
Not government.
Mm-mm. No. And so the words merciless, you know, we ought to put something on our calendar, Bill, and we ought to come back 6 months from now, and we ought to do a second podcast, and we ought to look at the last 6 months, what did France do, and how did they classify merciless? Because you want to talk about merciless, you go over to the capital city of ISIS, and you drop bombs until there's no one alive.
Right.
And does that sound harsh? Of course it sounds harsh. It doesn't sound any harsher than go into Jericho.
Right. Yeah.
And destroy everything that has a sound, that makes a sound.
Right. Yeah, because we're not going to intermarry with idolaters was the point there. We're not doing it. There can't be anyone left for us to marry.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to coexist.
Right.
And coexisting is causing the Christians to be terrorized.
Right.
I mean, that's...
That is the pity. I do not feel pity for a godless society that is now eating the fruit of their own ways. I feel pity for my brothers and sisters who are in Paris that are a partaker of this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. It's hard not to say you're reaping what you sowed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Bill...
I have brothers and sisters there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That are now living in terror.
I mean,
this could have been Fayetteville, North Carolina. This could have been Raleigh. You could have been at that, what's that football soccer team that you go to?
Railhawks and
right.
Cary. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Same kind of ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what's next on the radar?
Right.
And how many more leaders will just issue some more rhetoric and to respond to the terror and then go back to business as normal? Well, they're not going back to business as normal. They're accelerating it.
Right.
They're ramping it up. They're planning the next city. They're celebrating their victory. This is victory as far as they're concerned.
Of course it is.
Losing 8 is not a big deal to them. Those odds, they'll take those odds all day long.
Yeah.
Especially in light of what they believe to be true for them.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Shariaville, that's the name of the podcast,
Shariaville,
right?
USA. Yeah.
And you give us 7... where do these come from?
I just noticed them. And I noticed in the story of King Ahab and Ben-Hadad, where Ben-Hadad says, hey, we're going to come and take your best wives and your kids. And Ahab sent back and said, well, okay.
Yeah.
And then Ben-Hadad responded with, and everything that's precious to you. You know, it's 1 Kings 20. A person ought to listen to it, read it. But I noticed an escalation. It works with the LGBT community. It works with Islam. Everyone that seems like they just let us live peaceably. Before you know it, they're shaking the dog. They're wagging the dog.
Yeah, and you're saying that you see this with the Muslim community. You saw it with the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And, Bill, it seems as though that the transgender community is on that same glide path.
Yeah.
And the logical follow-up to that will be the pedophiles.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I share a statistic with the transgender. All you need is facts for a regenerate person to understand. We don't expect unregenerate people to do anything other than grow up for the doorknob, according to Genesis 19:4. They're going to feed their animal instinct. But for those of us who are renewed in the image of Christ, statistics are startling. And when you realize that 48% of all transgendered peoples under the age of 25 attempt suicide, that should tell you it doesn't fix the problem. No pun intended. It doesn't take care of anything. 48% attempt suicide.
You got to know, Bill, that comes from the pit of hell, because Satan himself was a murderer from the beginning.
That's right. Yeah.
And what better way to murder than to get people to kill themselves, Bill?
Yeah.
To kill themselves.
Yeah.
And so anything that has a potential of having a greater suicide rate should be on any society, without regard to Christianity, any society's radar.
Yep.
Because that society will cease to exist if it continues on that same trajectory. So suicide has got to be something that everybody's watching for.
Right. And let me just encourage those folks out there who know military chaplains. Statistics like the one I just gave, which was found on the Guardian, a United Kingdom news outlet, 2 months ago. Those are the kind of suicide prevention briefings that this Army chaplain gives.
Well, that's not politically correct.
Well, I've already done the math.
You're not going to get promoted up the ranks in your chaplaincy corps if you keep doing that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just a fact, Bill.
Yeah.
Somehow you've got to talk about suicide prevention without telling them anything that could offend any single group within the group.
Right. I told them 18%. The Ohio State University did a study in 2013, obviously not a Christian organization, 18% more likelihood for suicide ideation with every casual sexual encounter. 18% more likely to think about suicide, not with every casual sexual partner, but with every casual sexual encounter. You have an 18% more likelihood to consider suicide.
I was talking to a student that you'll know at ECU yesterday.
Okay.
And he told me that statistically 1 in 4 students at ECU have an STD.
Wow.
1 in 4, Bill. 25% of the students on a campus have an STD. Dear Christian, I just gave you another reason why you should stay a virgin.
Yeah.
Just that in and of itself.
Yeah.
Man, don't get a sexual partner from ECU.
Yeah.
And if you marry someone from ECU, you got to get them checked before you marry them. Imagine that.
Yeah.
25%. So these numbers should awaken any, as you said, regenerate person.
Yeah.
As a Christian, if you hear those numbers and it doesn't motivate you to stay pure, something's broke.
Right.
Well, we look forward to seeing what the merciless response is from France.
I'm going to put it on my calendar. I think 6 months out is a good time to measure that.
Yeah. We ought to be able to track it, Bill. Yep. We ought to be able to look and see what happens.
Yep.
Because if he can't rally the allies from Europe to do something, then ISIS has absolutely won. The only way they didn't win in this account is if there is, in fact, a merciless response that results in tremendous casualties on that side of the world.
That's right.
Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great day.